A forward-moving thing. That's what the Greeks saw when they looked at sheep. To the ancient people, a little lamb was nothing more than nature's wind-up toy. As soon as you let it go, it starts to move wherever and wherever it wants. And nothing, not even a hole in the ground, or a crack in the ground, or a predator, is going to stop it. They're going to mindlessly pursue their path all the way into all sorts of unnecessary trouble. If you're unfamiliar with sheep behavior, here's a little crash course. They are notorious for being less than bright. If you're looking for a fun Mother's Day evening activity today, I encourage you to go online and look up sheep being dumb. You'll get a few laughs, I promise. The best description I've ever heard of sheep behavior is they nibble their way to lostness. They'll chew a little here and a little there and head to the ground, just keep on moving, and before you know it, they're in a totally different place, away from their flock, away from the shepherd. They are both single-minded and simple-minded creatures. They are single-minded in that the only thing they care about is exactly what's right in front of them. They're completely oblivious to all the dangers that surround them as long as they have grass to nibble on. Which leads me to the simple-mindedness of those single-minded sheep. As these cute and yet obtuse animals move forward along their paths, their never-deviating hooves always carry them into the worst kind of lostness, whether it be separation from the flock or finding themselves in the mouth of a predator's cave wherein the predator lies with mouth open just waiting for them to pass by, or maybe even falling into one of those holes that you only ever see when you stumble upon it. And if the sheep manages to pull itself out of that sticky situation, well, it's only a matter of time before they find a little bit more grass that becomes their new undoing, and they nibble their way back into lostness once more. On their own, sheep are helpless. And as a result, whether it was from survival necessity or fiscal opportunity or just plain pity, the vocation of shepherd arrived. Men and women often equipped with shepherd crook and sling who dedicate their lives and their sanity to making sure that nature's wind-up toys stay safe despite every desire for the contrary. Should a sheep wander off the path, well, it's the shepherd's crook that brings them back. If the sheep wander too close to a mouth, whether the mouth of a cave or the mouth of a predator, well, it's the shepherd slain that drives the enemy back. And if the sheep should find itself wandering in circles, really frustrated that all the grass is gone, well, it's the shepherd's calling voice that lifts the sheep's eyes from the ground to the pasture land a few feet away. It takes a shepherd to save a sheep. And yes, the simple-mindedness and single-mindedness of the sheep might be humorous until we realize that the maker of heaven and earth, the God of all creation, looked down at the crown of his creation and all that he made, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, the creatures that crawl along the ground, and the beasts of the field, and he decided that the best nickname for us is sheep. A little rude, don't you think? Well, maybe we should think a little bit more about it. Single-minded? Only focus on what's right in front of us? Missing the forest for the tree, the whole story for the single chapter, the whole picture for the single moment? Determinedly pursuing what I want, when I want it, how I want it, to be what I want, to do what I want. Okay, maybe he has a point. But there's also the simple-minded nature too, right? It's not just determinedly following the path, but it's also following the path despite all the terrors around us, all the problems around us. So when you think about it, the one most likely to fall back into the hole that I just got pulled out of, that's me. The one most likely to follow exactly the wrong path at the wrong time that leads to my destruction, yeah, that's me. The one who prefers what's absolutely worse for me so often more than what God says is best for me. Yeah, that's me too. I'm guilty. But we have to be more than that, right? We're more than sheep. We're better than sheep. We're smarter than sheep, right? Yeah, we are more than sheep, but it is that more piece that's actually the brunt of our problem. We humans are single-minded creatures, simple-minded creatures, but we're also sinful-minded creatures. Yeah, we'll follow whatever is right in front of us, whatever our heart and our stomachs find that it desires, completely oblivious to all the problems that surround us. But here's the difference between the sheep and us. We know better. We know the pleasant pastures that have been prepared for us. We know the good shepherd who watches over us. And that's the second half of the word picture that God paints for us this morning. He paints a picture of us being the sheep and Jesus being the shepherd. And wouldn't you know it, just like sheep, we so often prefer a life apart from the shepherd. Here's what I mean. When you look up the sheep being dumb videos later, make a mental note of the sheep's reaction when the shepherd arrives. When the shepherd is gone, or seemingly gone, and not watching, no matter what the sheep is doing, it seems like it's having the time of its life, even if it means that its life is getting closer and closer to the end of its life. But as soon as the shepherd shows up, well, that's when the sheep starts to get agitated and irritated. That's when it starts to whine and complain and resist, because that's the man or woman that's here to ruin all my fun. Do we treat our good shepherd the same way? Sure, when you're in the flock and it's time for food and your spiritual stomach is rumbling and grumbling with helplessness and hopelessness, you look to the shepherd as one who can actually give something to you, something that you want. So yeah, in that moment, it's easy to look at Jesus and love him. But what happens when the needs are met? What happens when the spiritual stomach stops grumbling? What happens when the church doors open of the sheep pen and the whole world is your pasture? What then? Do you forget about the shepherd? Do you avoid association with the shepherd? Do you prefer a life without the shepherd? Sheep that love to wander. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. They were like sheep without a shepherd. These are just a few ways that our Heavenly Father describes us sinners in the Scriptures, putting the finishing touches on his sheep painting. And the end result is not a fluffy white lamb that's frolicking in beautiful pastures. No, it's a sodden, lost lamb, covered in mud and grime, shivering and alone. When the lamb left the pen, it was so convinced that what was out there instead of what was inside of the shepherd's pen, that's what made life worth living. But as soon as it got out there, it realized that the pleasant pastures was what it left behind. And now all that surrounded it is a wasteland with crags on which perch lions, with crevices from which peer out wolves, ever waiting for the sheep to turn its back to strike. That's what life is like when we leave behind the good shepherd. So you might leave this place today excited, maybe even looking forward to what a shepherdless pasture land might have to offer you. You might leave this place for today intrigued, maybe even a little excited for the next patch of lush, sinful grass that you can nibble on a little bit here and nibble on a little bit there. After all, it's not going to hurt anyone. Just enjoying the moment. And before you know it, the old adage of the grass is always greener becomes more and more true when you find yourself in the wasteland. When you see what sin really does, you see sin never keeps its promises. It always offers you the world, but leaves you alone and helpless, in misery and loneliness, at the mouth of Satan's cave, in which lies that great lion prowling around, just waiting for the sheep to pass by. But that's only half of God's picture this morning. Yeah, he paints you a picture of a sodden sheep, but if you look over that sodden sheep's shoulders, it might be hard to see at times, but there's a figure in the distance, and he's fighting through wind and rain, pushing past rock and crag, beating off wolf and lion. He too is ever moving forward with his face set like flint, but this time he's not determinedly finding his way to lostness, but he's determinedly finding his way to the lost. After all, it takes a shepherd to save the sheep. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. This is your shepherd's promise. This is the promise that he made to you when he first brought you into his sheep pen, whether you were just a little lamb or a full-grown adult. And this is the promise that he has made to you every day since. Though we might be sheep that love to wander, we have a good shepherd that loves to find us even more. Though we might be sheep that get agitated and irritated when the shepherd's commands and our desires are in conflict with one another, and yet the good shepherd, no matter how much we thrash and protest, he holds on tight despite our whining and complaining. Though we be sheep that have gone astray, and though each of us has turned to his own way, our good shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And though we might be sheep that prefer to live a life that's apart from the shepherd takes the shepherd crook, the word, and brings us back to the straight and narrow path. And yes, it might be a rugged path. It might not look like it's leading anywhere pleasant. But at the end of this life for which Jesus leads us through, we will find pleasant pastures beyond imagination, in a new heavens and the new earth where God's sheep can rest in peace and safety and security forever. That's your good shepherd. But us, forward moving things. That's what the Greeks saw when they looked at sheep. But what about God? What does he see when he looks at his sheep? He sees faithful and forgiven followers, men, women, and children who know his voice and follow him when he calls. For yes, we, like sheep, are single-minded, simple-minded, and unlike sheep, are often sinful-minded. But there is one trait that marks God's sheep that defies them all. We are Savior-minded sheep. Just like the animals that God created, we too hear our Master's call. And should 100 or 1,000 voices call at us, we can pick out the Good Shepherd from among them all. And when we hear his voice, we follow. That's what we've been made to be. Though we are sheep that are prone to wander, yet we hear our Savior's voice. We follow when he calls. For we don't have to aspire to be God's sheep one day or to be in God's sheep pen one day because we were really clean and good and faithful sheep. No. Even when we were full of muck and mire, we were sodden and dirty, Jesus chose us, brought us into his sheep pen. Being Jesus' sheep isn't something that we become one day, hopefully. It's something that we are right now by God's grace. It is by God's grace that we hear the shepherd's voice and we follow. It's by God's grace that we hear the shepherd's voice and we trust him. And it's by that same grace that leads him to lead us, protect us, care for us, love us, live for us, die for us, rise for us, return for us. After all, it takes a shepherd to save the sheep. Amen.